Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we find ourselves today in the middle of July, and if you like to think of summer as just 3 months, June, July, and August, we're pretty much dead center right now. Some people call these the dog days of summer. Now, it may have something to do, I suppose, with the humid or heavier weather we are experiencing with the heat, especially in this last week. But I bring you news that actually the dog days of summer have nothing to do with heat and actually have nothing to do with dogs either. It's actually a reference to something related to the stars. There is a very bright star named Sirius that is visible from Earth, and in the time between July 3rd and August 11th, Sirius aligns with a constellation called Canis Major. And so you think of that word Canis, canine, and so in this season, oftentimes it is called the dog star. So in this season now, we are in the dog star days of summer. Whatever you call them, they certainly do have a bit of a weight to them. Or maybe this time of year just allows us to slow down a little bit. Maybe we become a little bit more lethargic because of the weather, or perhaps move a little slower so as not to overheat. Perhaps this is a good season for us then to turn our attention to the book of Hebrews. We've just finished a sermon series on the book of Psalms. Now we move for 5 weeks into the book of Hebrews. This New Testament book was written for a congregation that had found itself perhaps in the dog days of summer, feeling a little bit lethargic or even apathetic regarding their faith. A once vibrant church filled with enthusiasm for the good news of Jesus had been waning a bit with their enthusiasm, less able or interested in sharing the good news, even not wanting to gather as often for worship. So here comes a letter that we now know as the letter to the Hebrews, or God's people, that helps to build some enthusiasm, reinvigorate or hopefully re-energize a community in the ways in which they have been gifted with this good news. So the letter begins in chapter 1, as we have read for this morning, with an announcement of how this news comes to us, like the dawn of a new day. God is doing a new thing. Something is surfacing up that has never been seen before, like each new sunrise is spectacular in its own way. In fact, God has spoken for generations through ancestors, through prophets, but now in Hebrews we hear this word that God is doing a new thing. For in these days, God has spoken through a son. A word continually preached and prophesied, now is embodied in the Son. This picture on the screen is actually taken at Haleakala National Park, which is on an island of Maui in the Hawaiian Islands. It is a beautiful vantage point from which to witness a sunrise. If you have ever had opportunity to travel, you know that the way to this vantage point is precarious. And if you get to this vantage point, you want to get there very early, so you drive in the dark on a windy road. But it's a spectacular vision of God's glory in creation once you see it. A couple of years ago, my husband and I had opportunity to travel to Maui, and this was certainly suggested as something that we should see. We are not naturally morning people, so we opted to go to the sunset. That was a little more our speed. So we too took that windy road in the daylight, of course, to that vantage point, and we were not disappointed. Isn't that something, that a simple sunrise or a sunset, something that happens every day, can still take our breath away? The beauty of God's creation beholding before us. Well, the good news is you don't have to travel all the way to Hawaii for a good sunrise or sunset. You could go to a lake, and you could go to a northern lake and have a view like this one, a view that helps to give us a sense again of the splendor and glory of God. One of the great gifts of a sunset or a sunrise on a lake is that reflection on the water, to see those colors dancing in the ripples of the water, to see how the hues take on a different look and how it complements the entirety of the experience. The writer of Hebrews picks up on this visual theme as well, that now, spoken this word through a son, this son is the reflection of everything glorious of the Father. Everything that we see and learn and trust about God the Father is true, truly reflected in the Son himself. Then the writer goes on to say that this Son is the exact imprint of the Father. It's quite likely that the writer was making reference to a coin, perhaps something that people would use daily to pay for different things that they needed. On the coin would be imprinted perhaps an image of a person of authority. That person and just their image would have a hold on those who were using that money to purchase something they needed, and they were reminded of that powerful person. So then, every time that we see or experience the Word in Jesus, we see an imprint of the glory of God, the power of what God has done in Christ. The rest of Hebrews that we read this morning goes on to share what Christ did for us, who has come to make purification for our sin, who has not only done that, but completed that with his death and resurrection, and now sits among the angels on high, where he has a name greater than any other name. And so that good news comes to us in the midst of this day, in the middle of summer. Something new, perhaps. We know this word. We know Jesus and his identity, but it comes to us as we open our ears to listen again. Some of you have talked with Pastor Jason and I in these past months about how, or excuse me, past weeks, in how it is that you have noticed some changes in the front of our sanctuary, in particular, the changes of new paraments. These green paraments are a new addition to our sanctuary and newly created just for Bethel. Some of you have noted how beautiful they are, and they certainly add a lot to our space. If you are a regular in terms of worship in the Christian tradition, you know that each season of the church year has a specific color. We happen to be in the green season these days, and the green season is really just called the ordinary season. The truth is, you're going to see these green paraments for weeks upon weeks upon weeks, because the ordinary season happens from after Pentecost and Holy Trinity all the way until Advent, when we change these paraments to blue. Now, there are a couple of Sundays in there, Reformation and All Saints Sunday, where we change it up a little bit, but it's a lot of green, a lot of ordinary time. We were excited to receive memorial gifts for these new paraments, and we were also excited to use the opportunity to ask one of the women who had created all of the paraments for Bethel way back when we built this new sanctuary to also design these as well. She wanted the images on the paraments to reflect the beautiful window above us that is around the cross, which centers us in worship. So you see that diamond shape then reflected from the window into the paraments, into the lines that are included on our stoles as well. This season, this ordinary season, is a long stretch. But soon we will be into that season of Christmas and we'll say, where did all of those weeks go? And in fact, our gospel reading for today moves us right there. We hear from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We hear that on a Christmas Day morning. We are illuminated with that good news, a poetic word indeed, not a narrative story of Jesus' birth, but a reminder, just as in Hebrews, that now God has done a new thing. Word has become flesh. God gets our attention in the Christmas story, but all year round, by embodying how it is that Jesus is at work in the world. sometimes our ears grow dull to that news. Sometimes even in the Christmas season, our ears are so filled and we are so distracted that we forget the central message of God coming to us in a new way, of God speaking a word to us and then becoming that word in Jesus Christ. Radio personality of old has had opportunity to share some, Paul Harvey, a radio personality of old, has had opportunity over his career to share various stories. If you remember, he used to have a radio news program called The Rest of the Story, where he would tell a story of someone and later you would learn who it was. Well, around the Christmas season, Paul Harvey, in his radio program, loved to tell this story. It was of a family whose tradition had been to go to worship on Christmas Day morning together and then come home and open up their Christmas presents. Not a unique tradition, but something had changed over the years for the father in the family. Over time and because of various things, he had become disheartened, not nearly as engaged in the church life or even in the promises given to him in faith. He grew less and less encouraged by attending worship, and in time he just didn't go anymore. In fact, his wife and daughters encouraged him, but he did not discourage them, but he just didn't feel it, so to speak. And every time he heard that Christmas story, he'd get caught up in a little bit of, really, that's so overdone, and really, God coming as a baby, and questioning and doubting. Well, on this particular Christmas day, his wife and daughters readied themselves for Christmas morning worship, went to church, and he encouraged them and said, "I'll look forward to when you come home and we open presents." He sat down in his recliner, opened his newspaper to read, and then he heard a tapping on the window. Distracted by it, he paused and looked up from his paper, and there was a little bird trying to get into the warmth of the indoors. It was a rather cold Christmas Day morning, and so there was quite a bit of snow and ice. And so this bird was determined. You've had that happen, the bird flying repeatedly in the window. So he put on his coat and his boots, and he trudged out in the snow. He got under that window. There were some bushes that he had to get through, and he tried to help that little bird. Well, the bird wanted nothing to do with him. My goodness, this huge creature reaching out to help him, why would they ever want that? But he kept trying and became more and more frustrated. And finally, he just hollered out, "Why won't you let me help you, you silly and stubborn bird? Here I am trying to offer you something, to save you, to bring you into a place of warmth and comfort, and you won't let me help you. How can I communicate with you? If only I could be a bird." Right then, the bells tolled at the church just down the road where his wife and daughters were worshiping. At that moment, he sunk to his knees and he said, "Oh Lord, I didn't understand. I understand. I have been stubborn and silly. I have not been listening. Of course you have come for me, to help me, to bring me into a place of comfort and healing and hope. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of Jesus." This is the good news that comes to us on an ordinary July morning. It's not Christmas Day. It's not really any special day in the life of the church year, except that every time we come into this sanctuary, we are given a strong and powerful word that you are forgiven, that God has come for you in Jesus Christ, and this is yours this day and always. Amen.